Nick, welcome to Baskin and Phelps.
How what up?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing? Missed you last week. Great to be back.
Yeah, we missed you. I hear you on the big time commercials, though. That's great.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, nice. It's great. It's great until you get the first world problems, like 30, 60 second commercials that you have to do like today, like by tomorrow. But yes, no complaints. But yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. So thanks. Here we go. Take the 162 game regular season, throw it out the window, because the Astros are done, the Orioles are done, and you have the Tigers and the Royals, who as the fifth and sixth seeds advance. That puts the Tigers against the Guardians. What do you think? What do the folks who tell you where to put your money think?
Yeah, so I'll answer the question the second way. So my opinion is I think Cleveland's a lot better than Detroit. And I think that manifested itself, obviously, over the 162-game regular season. And I think Detroit is more a team that's built almost. And I think you can make a case that they can survive in a best-of-five. Like, I don't think the Tigers could beat the Royals or the Yankees in a best-of-seven, just the way, like, the starting pitching is constructed, where, you know, it's a lot easier when you get Skubal in one game and then you win one other and you advance, right? Or in a best-of-five, like, you know, opportunities are limited there for the other team. With the way the Tigers want to have Skubal and then maybe a couple openers, but work the bullpen here. So I think the Tigers have more advantages in smaller series than they do in a longer series. So I like the Guardians a little bit, but what I can tell you guys about the way that people I respect are betting the series, people like Detroit in the series, and it's less a team of destiny thing with the Tigers, and maybe that plays into it a little bit. The Tigers are obviously red hot. The Guardians have had some time off since the end of the regular season, but I think the way people view this is, in the non-Skubal starts for Detroit, so any game that Tarik Skubal does not start for the Tigers, that the games are going to be close to a coin flip. Now, if you're a Guardians fan and you disagree, and you think, you know, Bybee, you know, pitching in game one, where the Guards are, for what it's worth, a -150 favorite in the game, like, maybe you disagree with that. And if you do, then I think there's a valuable betting opportunity for you to bet your favorite team, the Cleveland Guardians. Again, just presenting what I have been told by people who really handicap this stuff, that the non-Skubal games are coin flips, and the Skubal games are weighted way in favor of the Tigers. And to be fair, Skubal's going to win American League Cy Young in an absolute runaway. So the Tigers, I think, are going to be a sharp bet in the series. That doesn't mean that the Tigers are going to win. Personally, like, I like the Guardians a little bit, but I think the sharp money will be on the Detroit Tigers.
Does home field advantage mean anything in the gaming world?
I mean, it should.
In baseball.
Like, I think in
baseball,
some spots, yeah. In some spots it does. You know, we're still in like the infancy of this new base, this playoff format, right? With the expanded wild card. And we see it every year where favorites get upset. One seeds get upset. You know, like, look, we just saw Detroit win two games in Houston. We just saw Kansas City win two games in Baltimore. The Mets could win tonight and knock the Brewers out. Like, three of the home teams in the wild card series, like, could all get sent home. And we see this happen year after year. So, like, I want to tell you that home field matters a lot. I mean, with the way this format works, it does feel like it's a little neutralized here. And especially with two teams that know each other, as well as the Tigers and Guardians do, two teams that play in the same division, the AL Central, I do think it's a little mitigated. So again, like, my opinion, I think Cleveland is more likely to advance, but I do think that Detroit is going to be the quote-unquote sharp betting side in the series.
So in other words, good opportunity maybe if you're behind the Guardians here?
I mean, I think so, okay. And I'll probably have a bet on that. But I mean, we're close to, you know, Cleveland's a slight favorite in the series, -120. Detroit's +100. For context, the Yankees are like a -200 favorite against the Kansas City Royals. So basically, the betting market is saying that these two teams are close to equal. And you know, Detroit obviously had the magical run, like best team in baseball over the last 6 weeks or so of the season, beat the Astros two straight on the road. And this is where, like, you as a fan, you, the person listening, you get to weigh in with your opinion and say either, yes, I think momentum matters. The Tigers have it rolling right now. They have a great manager, you know, garbage cans notwithstanding in Houston. Mm. And you think the Tigers can win this? Or you want to say the regular season matters a lot more. The Guardians showed that they're better. Give me the Cleveland Guardians. And it's close to even money, depending on how you want to bet it.
Who do you like overall? Are you a Yankees Dodgers guy, or what do you think?
So, not the Dodgers. Never the Dodgers. Mm. You will hear a lot of people say, both you guys and you, the person listening to this, a lot of people are going to like the San Diego Padres. That doesn't mean it's wrong to like the Padres. And the Dodgers can win the series. I can just give you what I'm going to do as a bettor. I will bet against the Dodgers in every postseason round. If they win this, whoever they play in the NLCS, I'm betting the other team. World Series, if they make it, I'm betting the other team. And if I'm broke at the end, like, so be it. The Dodgers have no pitching. Like, you want to trust, like, Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto? Like, okay, like, maybe. Now here's Landon Knack, like, who was in AAA, like, 2 months ago, and Walker Buehler, who hasn't been good in over a year. Like, I don't trust this team at all. I love in this series. So I bet the Padres about plus 120 to win the series against the Dodgers. And again, I am big time fade on the LA Dodgers. Yankees Royals. Now, I'm a Yankee fan for context. Been rooting for them my entire life. I do think, like, they should win. And there is no reason why the Yankees should not make the World Series. That is not meant to be an insult to the Guardians or the Tigers. Like, the Yankees on paper are the best team. The thing that worries me in this series is Kansas City starting pitching is a lot better than the Yankees starting pitching. Like, the Yankees have one pitcher that you can quasi-trust in a big spot in Gerrit Cole. Meanwhile, the Royals can throw out, Cole Reagans or Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, even Brady Singer, if it comes down to it. The Royals starting pitching is better than the Yankees starting pitching. So, like, the Yankees are a deserved favorite, but my honest advice would be, as a bettor, you get plus money on the Royals if you're betting that series. Honestly, I would bet the Kansas City Royals, and I hate to say that as a Yankee fan.
Nick Costos joining us, the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. I want to go back to something you said about the new format. Andy and I have been talking about this a lot. I can't stand a three-game series. What does it do when, after 162, you have a three-game series, you think you know a team, but, Nick, it's baseball, and anything can happen in three games in baseball. How does that affect what you do?
I come at this from a very selfish perspective, not from, like, the baseball purist perspective. I understand that viewpoint. I make my money talking about betting on sports. I love to bet on sports. I like when there's more games. This format gives us more games to bet on. Therefore, I like it. Like, I'm happy the college football playoff expanded. I would like for the NCAA tournament to expand. I want more. So I'm happy with this, but I certainly understand people that would lean towards the opposite. And also, betting-wise, think about, right, and it's a little anecdotal, we only have a couple-year sample size here, how many upsets have there been in the Major League Baseball playoffs? Like, theoretically, gives you the better an opportunity to make more money if, like, more big underdogs are winning. Again, like, I had the Royals in the series against the... I felt like that was... not that the bet had to win, but that's an easy bet, I feel like, Kansas City over Baltimore. I bet the Mets in the series. We'll see how tonight goes. They should have had it wrapped up last night. But I think it provides us with some great betting opportunities. So the baseball purist, I would understand if he or she didn't like it. I personally love it.
I'm just... as I was thinking about this the other day, two games on Monday night, like it? Good, bad for the gaming industry, or just do you like it? I like it. I like these two games on Monday night, and primarily because you kind of maybe get one that's dog and one that's awesome. So I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
That would be where I would lean, which is the last thing that you said there. And we've had that the last couple of weeks, right? But so 2 weeks ago was Bills, Jaguars, Bengals, Commanders, right? Bills, Jaguars was Bills 47-10. Commanders, Bengals was a really exciting game. Commanders with the upset win. This past Monday, Dolphins, Titans the first game, and then Seahawks, Lions the second game. Dolphins, Titans, like, might have set football back to, like, the Mesozoic era, where dinosaurs roam the earth. It's a terrible football game, but Lions, Seahawks was awesome. So, look, like, if you're going to tell me, just for it's like, the Bills and Chiefs are playing on a Monday night, like, I don't think we need, Texans, Raiders also on Monday night. But if you're going to give, like, two average games, like, yeah, then give me more games. One great standalone game I would prefer, but if we're talking a couple mid-teams, then, yeah, like, I'd like two games on Monday.
Our Cleveland Browns are taking on the team that has made everybody stand up and take notice, the Washington Commanders, on Sunday. What do you think?
So it's a fascinating, I actually think, and this is not hyperbole, this is the most interesting betting game of the weekend in the NFL. Like, it's not the most interesting game for, like, a neutral observer, but betting-wise, this is the most interesting game of the weekend. And it's because... I don't like the Browns in the game, and I can get into, I like Washington, but a lot of people that I really respect that make their own, like, power ratings in the NFL, create their own point spreads, like, base their bets on things like that, are going to like the Browns in this game. They are just absolutely going to like Cleveland. Like, I had a guy come on my show as a betting analyst for NBC Sports on Monday, and he made the Browns a favorite in the game, like had Cleveland as a one-point favorite. And the thought is just, coming into the season, the team's power ratings were this. Like, the Browns coming into the season, obviously, like, think about it. Week one, the Browns were favored at home against the Cowboys. Like, how the mighty have fallen, how things have changed over the last month. The thought is that four games might be too small of a sample size to capture what these teams are, and you want to play them back to the middle. And if you can get more than 3 points, and the point spread right now is 3.5, Washington favored by 3.5, then the Browns would have to be a valuable bet. I'm more willing, as a bettor, and I think fans are more willing to do this as well, to kind of like trust the evidence of your eyes and ears. The Commanders are awesome. The defense is bad, but can improve as the season goes along. The passing offense is one of the best, and one of like the three or four best in the league. So I think you're going to get a good performance from Jaden Daniels and this Washington offense. And on the flip side, the Browns are the walking wounded. Like, it's a disaster injury report yesterday. And I heard, you know, the update at the top of the hour with the Kevin Stefanski quotes on Conklin and Wills. I mean, this is a disaster. Like, Teller's out for a while. Like, Conklin and Wills might not play. Myles Garrett's dealing with an Achilles injury, even if he plays. It's bad news for the Cleveland Browns. And I actually thought, guys, I thought Deshaun Watson played pretty well on Sunday against the Raiders, and they obviously got jobbed on the Amari Cooper touchdown, terrible holding call there. Maybe they win the game if that call is not made, but I mean, this team is still not good. The offense is still not good. Maybe when they get Nick Chubb back and focus and become more of a power running team again when the offensive line gets healthy. But I mean, for me in this game, I almost don't care about power ratings. You give me the Commanders -3, I will take it coming up on Sunday against the Browns.
Are the Browns at 5.5 wins on the season? Is that correct?
Well, let's see. Let's see their schedule. So I think they're going to lose on Sunday, and that would mean they're, what, 1-4?
Mm-hmm.
So then let's see what we got here. We've got at Eagles, loss.
I feel like you're in your laboratory right now, cooking up, trying to figure this thing out.
Give me yeah. I mean, look, like, I would say 5.5 is probably wrong. Or how about this? I wouldn't bet it. And the like under 5.5. And the reason why is twofold. Number one, the offensive line is going to get healthier. Like, it can't possibly be, like, the situation can only be as bad. Like, it cannot be worse than it is right now. So, like, at some point, like, Conklin and Wills will come back. Like, Teller will come back. At some point, Nick Chubb's going to be back and can change the offensive identity of the team. And the other thing that, like, I think, and I've said this with you guys for a month now, at some point, like, if they lose this game and Deshaun Watson plays poorly, and he should be able to play well because the Commander's defense is bad, but, like, they lose this game, and maybe you give him one more shot on the road at the Eagles. Like, enough already. Like, Jameis Winston has to play. And Stefanski's just got to pull the trigger. And Haslam has to let them do it. You have to let them do it. You can't let the season waste away with this guy. And maybe with Jameis, the vibes do a full 180. And at least the team can look like they're having some fun out there. And it doesn't look like that right now. So I would say the combination of a potential quarterback change and the offensive line getting healthier, I think there is still some reason to believe that this season won't be a total disaster for Cleveland. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But maybe won't be 5-12, 4-13, if that's fair.
I need a 10-second answer. Where you work, your office, whatever it is you're doing, wherever you do your stuff, how many computers, how many electronic devices do you have sitting around? About 14?
Well, unfortunately, so my wife and I, we had our first child in May.
Hey!
5 months. Yeah, thanks. 5 months old on Sunday. She'll be 5 months old.
Wow.
So we had to move everything from upstairs where my office was, and now I'm in my basement. And I still haven't, like, tricked this out fully yet. So I have one computer, and I have, like, one, like, nice TV. But I only have, like, one TV, and I do the show, and there's two baseball playoff games going on, and I can only watch one. And it's actually, like, it's really bad on my part. It's actually a terrible job by me, and I need to rectify it, like, this weekend.
Get it taken care of.
Yeah. No. Just let's face it. You have a kid now. Get used to being in the basement.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, as two guys that are used to it, like, I live in the basement.
Basement's good.
Basement's great.
I'm still wondering if my family still lives in the house.
They
I hear
don't.
Them walking upstairs every once in a while, but yeah.
Nick,
as
thank
long
you,
as
buddy.
They're alive.
That's
as
true.
As long as they're alive. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. Hey, in all sincerity, I hope we get Yankees Guardians in the ALCS. And we've taken revenge on you guys a couple times, but I can tell you, 14-year-old Nick Costos is still steaming about Sandy Alomar in 1997.
Oh, that's too bad.
See you, bud.
Later.
Thanks, Nick.